Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
It's hour three of the Daily Dip, and it starts right now on BetMGM Network. I'm Chelsea Messenger, Ditton Day, and Fur Jenks. And in this segment, we'll go over some of the betting lessons that we learned about the Broncos and their overtime win over the Commanders last night. We'll get to some of the Lane Kiffin news over the weekend, which feels a very anticlimactic way to say it, because it was a huge circus in college football over the weekend where Lane Kiffin is now headed to LSU. We'll get to our best bets later in the show. So we have a jam-packed hour. A salute to our viewers on Stadium. If you're watching us that way, we thank you. But Den, we know you are a Commanders guy, so I don't know if you stayed up to watch the very end of this. We wake up very early, but it was an overtime win for the Broncos, who now have 9 wins in a row, I believe, and 8 of their wins have come by one score. So what do you think this result says more about? Do you think it says more about the Broncos, and you can frame it as, hey, they're winning games at the end of the day, winning is all that matters? Or you could flip it and say, hey, they're skating by some of these teams they have no business, you know, playing tight with. Or do you look at the Commanders and you say, hey, there's some flashes of good things for Washington here, and it feels like a win or a loss that they could build on moving forward?
So personally, I love the fact that they played well and lost. The Commanders did. I loved that. That was what I was looking for. From an overarching standpoint, Denver really plays to the competition, and that is not a good thing. Sometimes we see that with bad teams playing good teams really hard. It feels like Denver spends a lot of time playing bad teams really hard, and that is not the way that equation is supposed to work, and that's going to make that really challenging. Once they start to play good teams and we start to see some odd numbers on the gambling side in the playoffs. So that's something that you have to monitor. They are not in the circle of trust by a wide margin, because I just don't know what variation of them is true. They only sacked Mariota for Washington twice last night. Felt like they had him a couple more times and he was able to escape, but they went up against an offensive line that has a rookie right tackle, and it didn't really feel like they had the success that I thought they were going to have against, again, a team that dropped Mariota back like 50 times. He had 50 pass attempts. He was sacked twice. That's a massive number for Washington, not for Denver, despite the fact that Denver is this all-world defensive line and is having an all-world season getting after the quarterback. So I was a little bit more alarmed with what I saw from Denver about how they just don't seem to, they don't seem to play their best game regardless of the opponent. They let people play around a little bit too much. They play with their food a little bit too much, and that's not a good sign of a team if you have high hopes of them making a deep run into the postseason.
Well, I think in other years, maybe you would hold it against them, but you look across the league and you're like, okay, what team does not have warts, you know, so far this season? And the only team you really look at is the Rams, And they lost yesterday as well. So it's just one of those things where, okay, so maybe it's not great that the Broncos play down to the level of their competition. And from a betting standpoint, you say, okay, think twice before you lay a big number with the Broncos because they're 5-7 against the number this year. But I will say this, you know, they played in close games against good teams as well, and they've come out the other side with some wins. So winning still counts for something in my book, especially in a year where we don't have any of these teams truly dominating. But it was a big win for Denver in this sense. And the fact that, you know, the Broncos and the Patriots right now are fighting, you know, and they're nose and nose at the top of the AFC, both sitting at 10-2. And with five games remaining on the schedule, this will be huge for whoever gets the number one overall seed, because you look at both these teams with young quarterbacks, and especially with Denver, who probably has one of the best home field advantages in all of football. If they get to be the number one overall seed in the AFC, that gives them a huge leg up on the competition in an AFC where the waters are extremely murky this year, especially if the Chiefs don't make the postseason.
Right. It just then becomes a question of how much are you going to trust Bo Nix. And against a defense that is not very good in Washington, I expected a little bit more from him. Washington had periodically this season, Chelsea, been what we called locally as a get-right game. And you never want to be a get-right game. You might want to have a good get-right game. You never want to be the get-right game. And there was a period where Washington was the get-right game. How did this miracle run the Dallas's on start? Well, they beat the doors off of the Commanders a couple of weeks ago. The Chiefs beat the doors off of the Commanders a couple of weeks ago. Now it feels like, wait, maybe they tanked the Chiefs season. You're welcome to everybody who didn't want to see the Chiefs. But they need a good offensive game. They played one of their best offensive games against the Commanders and that defense. The Lions were the same thing, played one of their best offensive games. So I was looking at Denver thinking, all right, this is going to be a game where Denver and Bo Nix, you know, he plays his best offensive game. And Denver might keep it close in the first half, but in the second half, they're going to show, hey, this is why we are a playoff team and you are not. We're going to pull away a little bit. And they just never, they never did that. Now, their scoring drives came with what felt like ease, but I was very skeptical as to why they couldn't just do that on a drive-by-drive basis against a team that was down to cornerback 3, 4, and 5 on the field. They had just gotten a safety back in Will Harris, who hadn't played in 2 months, 2-3 months. Their linebackers are old in Bobby Wagner. I mean, Deron Payne was back from a suspension. He was punching through the Denver offensive line. Anyone? Roger Goodell loved that one. But you're playing a defense that is not very good. Washington is evaluating for 2026. So I was expecting a little bit more from Denver, and we just didn't get it. I kept waiting for them to flip the switch and flip the switch, and I don't know that they have a switch. And there's some teams in the AFC that they have a switch that they can flip. I think Buffalo is one of those teams, right? If Kansas City gets there, we believe that they can do that. But I kind of think New England is like that too, Chelsea. And Denver and New England are going to get compared a lot over the next couple of weeks as they're racing for the number one seed. We'll see how New England plays tonight. It would suck if this ages terribly. But I feel like New England has a switch that they can flip to just go into go mode. And I don't know that Denver has one of those.
Well, I think that the Patriots' offense is just more trustworthy this year. And it's one of those things where Broncos defense this year has been so good that I think that it makes up for some of that, because you talk about the sack numbers and across the board, this defense is just ferocious. But here's another red flag when it comes to Denver. I know we're piling on the team that won, which seems weird, but again, we're trying to examine these teams a little closer. So when you look at some of the favorites to win the AFC, you're like, hey, that number is not quite high enough for me to want to put my money on Denver. Slow starts have been a huge curse of this team all season long. If you look at Denver at scoring first half points, they're 20th in the NFL. They're averaging 11 points per game in the first half. So I think, again, they're skating by in some of these games where they can push it in the fourth quarter. But once they, again, I say once they play good teams, like somebody's going to punish them for it. But at the end of the day, they keep winning, like even against good teams. So I don't know. I feel like, would we be doing all this mental gymnastics work if this was a team that we innately trusted? Like, probably not. Like, this is what the Chiefs have done for the last few seasons, where they win a bunch of close games, where they're like, you know, we throw up our hands. We're like, hey, this is Patrick Mahomes. Who cares how they win? He is a winner. So I think it's one of those conversations where it's tough, and I feel like nobody is anointed the next big thing until they actually get there. But it's just the AFC. It feels wide open right now.
And maybe if they go earn that, we will look at them like that in 2026. But we looked at Mahomes that way because he is the Michael Jordan of the era. He is unstoppable. Yes. Even still, there are people that are rushing to the window to put bets on Kansas City to win the AFC this year at plus 750 and to win the Super Bowl this year at 14-1, despite the fact that they're 6-6, not just on the outside looking in. Like, they're across the street. They're not at the front yard. They're not on the sidewalk. They're across the street. They're basically on the doorstep of your across-the-street neighbor's house. They're so far away from the playoffs right now. But we still have that innate trust because of the quarterback. And it is, you know, time will give us that in Bo Nix. If he is worthy of that, I still don't know that he is, because, again, I thought he was going to slice up a Commander's defense that had been relatively lackluster, and he just didn't. Now, he does a couple things really well. I don't know if there's a more accurate quarterback on the move than Bo Nix. I mean, he's really good when he gets outside of the pocket. And that first touchdown pass that he threw was a dime in the first half. I mean, he's really good when he's mobile and using his legs. And I think Denver needs to get him outside of the pocket a little bit more. It just feels like he excels in the backyard football element of the game as well. So they need to start doing some things that get him into more comfortable positions. I had talked to somebody who works out there in Denver, Chelsea, the week leading up to this game, and they had kind of alluded to maybe some creative differences, shall we say, between Sean Payton and Bo Nix in terms of how they want the offense to run. And you know, Sean Payton's a great coach, going to be a Hall of Famer. I would encourage him to maybe get maybe closer to the plays that Bo Nix is wanting to run, instead of trying to force a square peg into a round hole at times.
Yeah, but I do think if that's a power struggle, it's going to be Sean Payton who wins that battle.
Absolutely.
Just because the tenure and the resume that he has. So I think we both voice our concerns for, you know, playoff concerns for some of these young quarterbacks. But here's the thing, in the betting space, you can take that entire thing out of the equation and you can bet on who wins the number one overall seed in the AFC. I think I know which way you're going to go on this one, but right now the Patriots are the favorite at plus 115, the Broncos plus 120. And if you look at the remaining schedule for the Broncos, they have the Raiders, they get to play the Packers in Denver, the Jags, they go on the road to Kansas City and then finish the season at home against the Chargers. And then the Patriots have a game tonight at home against the Giants. They have the Bills in New England. They go on the road to Baltimore. They finish the season against the Jets and the Dolphins. So, Denton, I feel like this is a bet that I feel like we could probably nail down a little bit better. Do you think the Patriots end the season as the AFC's top seed?
I do. I think the Patriots are in a better position to... I think they're in a better position to get 14 wins. And I think 14 wins, crazy, but I think 14 wins is realistic for New England. I don't know that 14 wins is realistic for Denver. So because I'm holding that number in a certain regard, I would say that I trust New England to get there more than I would trust Denver.
It's wild to me. Like, when you said 14 wins, I was like, oh my God, 14 wins? Like, it's crazy what Mike Vrabel has done with this team. How many games did the Patriots win last year? Four?
Not a lot. I mean, they were drafting fourth overall. So, yeah, they did not have a lot of win. I think it was four or five.
Because I was just looking at BetMGM, and I feel like this has to be locked up by now. But if the Patriots win 14 games, Mike Vrabel has to win Coach of the Year, right?
Definitely. I mean, it feels like he's a shoe-in for Coach of the Year already. But, yeah, I mean, you're right, it was four wins last year. It took a four-win team, and they now have doubled that, and then some, with five or six more games left. That's insane. I mean, it's a miraculous turnaround. We were calling them at the beginning of the year the team that had the potential to be the Commanders of 2025, because the Commanders were a bad football team that then, when you get your quarterback, became a really good football team. And they are on pace to exceed, at least in the regular season, even what Washington did. It'll be up to them to see what they can do in the postseason to see if they can get the AFC Championship the way the Commanders got to the NFC Championship last year. But they have exceeded even the loftiest of expectations. They have exceeded, because nobody in their right mind thought that this would be a 10-win team prior to December 1st, and they are.
Right. Like, it's crazy. Like, I thought that they would be a much better team, but I didn't think that the jump was going to be this big in year one with Mike Vrabel. And if you do think that the Patriots can win all but one of their games to end the season over at BetMGM, their regular season win total right now set at 13.5. The over is +170. So, Den, if you believe in the Patriots, which it sounds like you do, you know, that's a pretty good plus money bet. I do think, obviously, those are probably correlated where, you know, if they win 14 games, they're probably going to win the number one overall seed in the AFC. But you get, obviously, a little bit better return on your investment if you go over 13.5 wins.
Yeah. Might have to play that. Might have to jump in on that. I hadn't looked at those numbers prior to today, but I might have to jump in on that, because that's pretty decent value. And again, I'm a believer in what I have seen from New England this year. And really, like, I just don't really think... I mean, the Bills are a good team, but the Ravens are beatable. The Giants are beatable. So they'll get 11 wins tonight. And then you're just finding three others between the Ravens, Jets, and Dolphins. That's easily attainable.
And speaking of the Patriots, with a big game tonight as far as their win total goes against the Giants, our handicaps for Monday Night Football come your way after the break here on the Daily Dip.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
All right, we're back on a Monday. In a few minutes, we'll get to our favorite plays in Monday Night Football. I'm Jelson Messenger, Denton Day, and for Jenks. Before we get to Monday Night Football, let's at least discuss for a little bit the circus that was the weekend in college football.
So much fun.
And you know there's nothing like college football when you see a coach leave for another job on a private plane where dozens of students are holding up the middle finger and jeering him as he gets on the plane to leave. So, of course, I'm talking about Lane Kiffin, who is headed from Ole Miss to LSU. But, Den, I feel like lost in the sauce in all this is the fact that Ole Miss is actually one of the top 10 teams in the country. Lane Kiffin said he lobbied to coach for Ole Miss, and Ole Miss said, no, we're moving on. Get the hell out of here. But does this affect your handicap on Ole Miss? Like, I don't think in any way that the committee can look at Ole Miss, because they're not a bubble team, and be like, well, Lane Kiffin's not the coach anymore. We're going to kick you out. I don't think that's going to happen. And the odds reflect that. Like, Ole Miss is in. But do you think moving forward, now that Lane Kiffin is going to get paid all this money, obviously he means something to a team, do you think this takes away Ole Miss and their potential at possibly winning a national championship?
Yes. Definitively yes. That's the part that sucks about this, is that this was Lane Kiffin's opportunity to do something that everyone said he was incapable of doing, and winning big football games and winning a national championship. Without him, he is, for however you feel about him personally, and I know there's a lot of people that personally don't feel very good about him right now, however you feel about him personally, that dude can call some plays. And he can put right. your quarterback in a situation to be really successful. I mean, let's not forget that Trinidad Chambliss was literally playing Division II last year. And he just took Ole Miss and led them to the college football playoff, which, by the way, there's going to be at least one or two voices in that room, Chelsea. As much as I don't think it's going to happen, there's going to be at least one or two voices in that room that do bring up that conversation of, hey, do we want to keep them in, even though their offensive coaching staff, which has been their bread and butter, has gotten completely gutted because Lane Kiffin is taking all of them to LSU. Those voices won't win, but those conversations will be had. And to be fair, that's the duty of the committee. They're supposed to have those conversations. But I cannot bet on them. I can't. Unless by some unbelievable stroke of luck, they match up with a Group of Five team, which they won't. I can't bet on them against another quality opponent right now without Lane Kiffin. And this is a domino that I never wanted to fall, as someone that still does believe in joy and hope in the world. I never wanted a coach to leave a chance at a championship to go chase a championship somewhere else. You know, we've seen so many dominoes fall in college football, like when Christian McCaffrey sat out a New Year's Six bowl game for the first time. That was the first domino that led to everyone starting to sit out games if they did not play in the college football playoff, which now just leads everyone to sit out bowl games, period, right? And then we get the NIL and transfer portal and all of the madness that has ensued with that. But still, hilariously, in my own mind, I thought, well, surely a coach is never going to give up an opportunity to win a championship. And Lane Kiffin has now done that. And he can justify that in whichever way he wants to. I don't even fault him for that. The LSU job only comes open so often. I know Brian Kelly wasn't there that long, but that it feels like that job only comes open so often. And it's a really great job to have. But it does suck that he is leaving his team high and dry to go take that job. And Ole Miss is now more likely than not going to get the doors blown off of them in the college football playoff.
Right, because Lane Kiffin is such a good offensive play caller. And you're like, okay, well, who's the interim head coach? Oh, it's Pete Golding, who is their defensive coordinator. And I don't think anybody has looked at Ole Miss's defense this year and be like, whoa, that defense is really good. That can lead them to a national championship. No, the defense has been their weakness this year. So it's going to be problems moving forward for Ole Miss. I know they're probably in shambles today, or they're just extremely mad. But I will say this, for Lane Kiffin and for LSU, I think the standards are still going to be really high, because at LSU, it feels like if you don't win a national championship, like, you know, you're gone within 3 years. So I know they gave him this big deal, but I don't know. Do you think he can win a national championship at LSU? He's certainly going to have the resources. And I feel like he was very close at Ole Miss. Like, obviously we don't know what would happen if he stayed there. But I don't know. I still think it is very difficult to win a national championship, but that's going to be the standard at LSU.
I think he can. And to be honest, Chelsea, I think that he will. I look at the way that the last two coaches ended at LSU. And Brian Kelly, we have learned, not a very nice person. It makes it really easy to let go of a guy that's not a nice person and not having success. And on top of that, he didn't exactly do things the way that LSU wanted him to do things. We laugh at his recruiting videos. It turns out that that was basically all the recruiting he was doing. Outside of that, he's hanging out on a beach. He's playing golf. He's doing some things that you should not be doing if you are a head coach of the LSU Tigers. You've got to be out there on the recruiting trail, something that I think Lane Kiffin will do a little bit better. And then there's the Ed O situation. He really liked being Ed Orgeron. Like, really, really liked being Ed O. And I know a lot of people bring up, well, they fired Ed O right after he won a championship. There were reasons. And it's because he really liked being Ed Orgeron. Like, there's a lot of stories that came out about how he was handling himself that was not at a championship level. It's not even at, like, a average employee level. It was like, he's doing what? He's bringing who around? He's treating this section like what? Like, he was doing some very odd things, and that's why he got let go. Lane Kiffin, say whatever you want about him in terms of the unique character that he is. I don't think he's going to fall into the trap that Ed Orgeron did, and he feels like a much nicer person and a much easier person to deal with than Brian Kelly, which I think at this point, I know this is fresh on everybody's mind, but it does feel like that's much more of a negative referendum on what Brian Kelly was like behind the scenes. And from what I have heard, Chelsea, and I'm sure from people that you have talked to and you have heard from, whatever you have heard about Brian Kelly and how negative it was behind the scenes, it was worse.
I feel like the bar is very low.
Very low.
For, you know, overall character, and if the person is nice, when you're saying, yeah, compared to Brian Kelly, it's a low bar, because I'm pretty sure there are a lot of fans in Mississippi right now who are not looking at Lane Kiffin like, this is the guy you're calling nice? The guy that left us high and dry. All right, so I wanted to throw this one last tweet in here before we move on to Monday Night Football, because Rick Pitino tweeted this out, head coach of St. John's in college basketball. And it's funny because I always read, like, tweets in their voices, so, like, imagine that as well. He says, I'm not knocking football, but there's something wrong with their calendar. I'm at SJU, and we're potentially a one seed and can win a national championship this year, and I leave in March? What's going on here? But touche, Rick Pitino. I thought it was a good point.
I mean, thank you, Rick Pitino, for not understanding the calendar. The calendar does screw coaches because you have to act like these athletes are students first. They're not. They play football, but you have to act like they're students first, and guys want to transfer so they can get in to the next school by the next semester. No one's new semester is starting in April. So, like, thank you, Rick Pitino, for the wise words.
Right. The semesters work differently and fall differently when it comes to college basketball. All right. So from Rick Pitino to Monday Night Football, let's go to the Giants and the Patriots squaring off tonight as the Patriots home favorites by 7.5 points. Total 46.5 in this one. So obviously the Patriots look like the much better team right now, standing at 10-2. The Giants just 2-10. They fired their head coach. They fired their defensive coordinator. Across the board, their defense looks like a mess, with the exception of maybe some pieces on the defensive line. Jackson Dart is back, though, if that means something to you. 7.5 points, however, is a lot in the NFL. And the Patriots have won a lot of games by a close margin. So, Denton, I think we both probably look at this game and say, okay, the Patriots are going to win. But the question is, by how much would you bet on the Patriots to cover?
That 7.5 number is a big number on primetime, especially because we've seen these big numbers on primetime and they have not gone that way. Most recently with last night, with the Broncos and the Commanders. I remember last week with the Texans led by Davis Mills and the Bills. Bills were big favorites. Texans pulled the upset outright. So I'm a little cautious about laying a big-time number. Now, with that said, I don't think the Giants are very good, and that certainly has to fall into the handicap. That is an absolute hellhole and a disaster of a franchise right now, which we knew it was going to be. They should have let go of Brian Daboll before the season. For whatever the reason, they decided to keep him for one extra year, which that does set your quarterback back at least another year as well with next year. But again, they didn't think about that. They're not that's not a smart operating organization. I don't know that anybody has ever accused the Giants of being geniuses. They just don't. The Mara family, they're not geniuses when it comes to the NFL. I just don't know that I can trust the Giants in these spots. I think if you're going to play this game in any capacity, you have to look at the prop side of things. Or maybe you look at the total at 46.5, but I don't even know if I feel really confident about that. I feel like if you're going to make money on this one with this kind of line, Chelsea, it has to be through way of props.
Yeah, and just to entertain the other side for just a second, I think maybe the case to be made for the Giants is the fact that the Patriots have played some other bad teams in the league pretty closely. Like, if you look at last game, the Patriots won over the Bengals without Joe Burrow by 6 points, 26-20. If you look at their game against the Saints back on October 12th, they won that game by 6 points, 25-19. So I think 7.5 is too big of a number for me to trust the Patriots with, especially at this point in the season where it's a primetime game. I feel like it's more about surviving and advancing as opposed to covering the number. But that being said, the Giants, like you mentioned, could be a complete disaster in this game. And on paper, it just doesn't look like a great matchup. Giants giving up the most rush yards per game of any defense in the NFL. And they're bottom third against the pass, so it just feels like this Patriots offense, who's number four in scoring offense in the league, should be able to put up a lot of points against this Giants lackluster defense that just fired their defensive coordinator. But like you mentioned, we are betting on this game just in a different way. I'm going to go to the props market. I'm going to go with Tyrone Tracy, running back for the Giants, over 2.5 receptions for -125. If you look at him in the last couple games, he has been used as a part of the passing game a little bit more. 4 catches for 51 yards, 3 catches for 68 yards in his last 2 games. And here's the thing, when a defense is really good at stopping the run, I feel like these short and dumpy passes to the running back are the way to go, especially for somebody like Jackson Dart, who is coming back in the fold after being injured. I think this is the way that you play this game in the props market, and I'm going to depend on Tyrone Tracy to catch a few passes.
I'm looking at a Jackson Dart interception prop tonight, Chelsea. He's back after suffering a concussion. They have made it clear that, hey, you might need to adjust the play style a little bit. He had been playing a little recklessly, and that's very common, it feels like, when you make the transition from college football to the NFL. You're very athletic in college. You're not nearly as athletic in the NFL. Like, these guys are legitimately built differently. So because of that, I think he's going to be in the pocket more. I think he might be pressing a little bit more. And the number is significantly better on an interception prop than I would have thought. You can get Jackson Dart over half an interception for -110. So I feel like as far as props are concerned, I'm going to roll with that one. I was of the belief, I don't know why I thought this, I was of the belief that I was going to see Jackson Dart over half an interception, like -190. So seeing that at -110, I feel very good as the gambler that that is favorable to me numbers-wise. And because I am of the belief that he is going to have to mightily adjust his play style, I kind of like it. So I'm going to bet Jackson Dart. I'm going to have, more likely than not, of my best bets, over half an interception for him.
I think the reason the number is where it is, and I'm not saying this is a bad bet, I'm just saying this is why it's -110, is because Jackson Dart, the numbers suggest that, you know, he hasn't thrown that many interceptions. 10 touchdowns to 3 picks this year. And if you look at his last 5 games, he's only thrown 1 pick. So I think that's probably where the odds makers get these numbers. I'm real interested to see what they do with him when it comes to the run game. Like, how many design runs are we going to see from Jackson Dart? Because he is very prolific when he is a runner. But also think about this. Like, what's the overall goal of the Giants organization right now? I think it is to protect your future, and Jackson Dart is your future. So when you have a new head coach in the fold who's not coaching for his job anymore like Brian Daboll was, I think that it would be smart if they're not just, you know, giving the ball to Jackson Dart and treating him like a running back.
Like, you got to protect him. You got to protect the quarterback. Right. He is now, one, he is going to draw the attention of the next head coach. You're going to hope to entice him, be like, hey, you want to come coach us? Well, you get to work with Jackson Dart and look at all of the things that he did good last year. And we can fix up these things here and there, because you're not going to be in the market for a new quarterback in the 2026 draft, and there's other positions of need that the Giants have on the offensive and defensive side. So I think you're 100% right. You got to protect him. Don't have him running out there like crazy. I throw a pick, Mr. Dart. I'm begging you. I need, your boy needs a win. I had a bad week last week. Your boy needs a win.
Oh, man. But so do, like, Ole Miss fans. Like, man, they're down bad. They're looking at Jackson Dart like, hey, he went to Ole Miss. Maybe he'll give us something. Probably not. All right, coming up next, our best bets come your way after the break, where we have our money today. It's next on the Daily Tip.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
All right, time to land the plane. On the Daily Tip, final segment. In a few minutes, we'll give you our best bets for the day, what we actually have our hard-earned money on. Denton Day filling in for Jinx. So, Denton, I've been thinking about the Giants because, obviously, they have the Monday night game tonight between the Giants and the Patriots. And I'm thinking about, like, in the most positive spin, do you think there is a world in which you look at the Giants right now and you say, okay, if they get a good head coach, Jackson Dart has something. Cam Scataboo, like, maybe he's only going to play for 2 years because it looks like he's always looking for contacts, but at least he's exciting. They have some good pieces on the defense. I feel like nobody's talking about Brian Burns, the fact that, he has 13 sacks on the season, which is second in the NFL behind Myles Garrett. So they do have some good pieces. And I feel like the last time we kind of had a team that had this type of makeup, it was the Patriots. And, like, look at the turnaround that they had. Even though you look at the Patriots as a whole and from the top up, and you say that Patriots organization is way more trustworthy at making decisions than, the Giants. But do you think there is a pathway in which the Giants could actually be good in the next few years?
I think there is. They have to make good decisions, which has not been their forte over the past couple of years. I did briefly laugh because you said Brian Burns is second in the NFL in sacks at 13. And it's insane to me that he is second by 6 sacks because Garrett has 19. That's just baffling. In any other world, 13 in the beginning of December is like this guy's awesome, all pro. But Myles Garrett is just he's such an animal. He's on another planet. They're going to get Malik Nabers back, which is going to be helpful. It's just a lot easier to be good at offense in the NFL with a legit number one wide receiver. I'm going to be very curious as to what they're going to do in the offseason in terms of where they put some draft capital, put some money in free agency. You know, you would think with Brian Burns and Abdul Carter and Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence and all these guys on the defensive line, they're pretty set there. So probably not going to go after any of the defensive linemen. You don't need a quarterback, obviously, because you have Jackson Dart. So do you go for like a Caleb Downs, or do you go for just trying to do what Cincinnati has done, which is we're going to get two really good young wide receivers and pair them together with a guy like Jordan Tyson out of Arizona State? They need to make good decisions, but the good decisions, Chelsea, to me, need to be getting weapons for your quarterback. The easiest way to see a quarterback succeed in the NFL, and a young one at that, is to give them a lot of really good football players. And right now, that is an area where the Giants are significantly lacking. Scadaboo has been good, but look, man, we know what he is. Like, he's a demon for contact. He's a fun dude. He's a fun-loving dude. He got a career in pro wrestling after football. If he really wants one, it might pay him a little bit better, to be honest. But he is here for a fun time, not a long time, it feels like. You got to get some guys on that offense that can extend not just Jackson Dart, but can also kind of extend the Cam Scadaboo reign as well. If you get those guys for 3-4 years in New York, I think that could be a very successful run.
And I do think, to your point, what we were talking about last segment, it could be a very enticing thing for, you know, your selling point for a new head coach. Not that you need like a ton of ammo to be a head coach in the NFL. I'm just saying, like, if you're, you know, trying to get the best head coach out there for your job, and you say, hey, look, we're set up pretty good for the future. Like, this is not, you know, a hellhole that's leading to nowhere like some of these other teams. Like, looking at my Titans, like, like, Cam Ward certainly has flashes. And the funniest thing now is that I don't know if you've seen these promos for them trying to hype up the Browns and the Titans game. They're like, we've never heard more about two young quarterbacks than Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. This game is much watch TV. And you're like, Browns and the Titans?
Yeah, not must watch.
Know.
And it feels like we've never heard more about one of the quarterbacks in that matchup. I haven't heard a lot about Cam Ward over the past couple of weeks. I've heard some very crazy things about Shedeur Sanders over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, nobody even wanted to talk about Cam Ward when he was drafted number one overall. Like, it was still about Shedeur being drafted in the fifth round. So, like, one of those quarterbacks, that statement is correct. But for Cam Ward, it just feels like, I don't know, nobody cares about the Titans right now. That's why I feel like you almost do, like, a splashy hire. Like, hire just a name. Like, at this point, I don't even care if we're good. I just want us to be, like, relevant or at least a talking point on some of these shows.
Can I interest you in Bill Belichick? Or is that too much of a name?
Oh, but it comes with another name, and our name is Jordan Hudson.
It does.
The
keychain, the Super Bowl ring wearing, banned from the stadium, Pablo Torre suing Jordan Hudson. She got a lineup list the way that Ric Flair did back in the day, but Ric Flair's lineup was way more fun in his promos.
Ah, even though I will say it was fun over the weekend watching my NC State Wolfpack lay the beat down on UNC. We hate them with a passion. And that's one thing that Dave Dorn does really well. He beats UNC every year, it feels like. All right, so without any further ado, let's get to our favorite plays of the day and tell you who we have the most faith in today.
Time to place your bets.
All right, then, since you are guest hosting and you have two bets, give us your favorite bet of the day.
I will say, Chelsea, I tried to be really petty with one of my bets, and the Lord saved me. I was going to bet the house against St. John's for that comment that Rick Pitino made. I just didn't like it. I was going to be petty, and St. John's is not playing tonight. So I am saved from making a rash, dumb decision. Instead, I'm going to spend my money in the NFL tonight. So I'm going to play that Jackson Dart over half an interception prop that is tonight. It's going to be his first game back since the concussion that took place in the game against Chicago a couple of weeks ago. I thought he was going to play last week. It felt like he was trending in the right direction, and then he didn't. So the expectation is that he is going to be good to go for tonight. And because he's coming off of a concussion, it's normal to see guys adjust their play style. In fact, I think New York is going to be like, hey, you should adjust your play style. You kind of are the keys to the next couple of years here in town. We'd like to keep it that way. But because he's going to adjust a play style, I think that's going to lead to him making a little bit more brash decisions in the pocket. I generally find that when rookie quarterbacks run a ton, it's because they're still not seeing the game the way that they would hope to be. And this is a process in making the transition from the college level to the NFL. But if I'm expecting Jackson Dart to be in the pocket a little bit more, to throw a little bit more, it's only natural that an interception is going to come along the way. So I'm taking Jackson Dart over half an interception at minus 110.
Ah, for me, I'm going to go with another Giants player, but a more positive spin on it. I'm going to go with Giants running back Tyrone Tracy over his receptions prop of 2.5 catches tonight, simply because it looks like a great matchup for this specific prop. If you look at the Patriots defense, they've allowed the third most receptions to opposing running backs, and it makes a lot of sense because their run defense is so stout, one of the best run defenses in the entire NFL, that it's tough to run against them. And they have a good secondary as well. So those short and dumpy passes to the running back make a ton of sense, especially when you have a young quarterback on the road in prime time. I feel like these have been a winning bet over the course of the season. And if you look at Tyrone Tracy over his last couple games, 4 catches for 51 yards, 3 catches for 68 yards. So I think he can catch at least 3 passes tonight. Over 2.5 catches for Tyrone Tracy tonight is minus 125. All right, Dan, looks like you got something else on the card for us. What else are you playing?
I'm going to play Stephon Diggs 50-plus receiving yards, which means if this hits 50, it does hit. So I'm playing Stephon Diggs 50-plus receiving yards at minus 135. Because the Giants have a really dynamic pass rush and the Patriots are playing a little banged up at the offensive line, I'm anticipating that this is going to be more of a quick passing game to start for New England. And Stephon Diggs at this stage of his career is not necessarily the deep threat that he once was, but I think he'll get a lot of opportunities in the quick game. You know, one of the things that I love watching about wide receivers as they get older and those that age gracefully is that their route running really tends to sharpen with age. It's just the little details in the game, the nuances, the tricks that come with playing wide receiver. And Stephon Diggs, when he was fully in his prime, was already a pretty damn good route runner. I think he's evolved to be even a better one at this age, and I think that's going to be a very big help tonight for Drake May. So I think Stephon Diggs is going to get a lot of opportunities, and I think he's going to get over 50 plus receiving yards. And that number at minus 135, both of my bets, Chelsea, are numbers that I did not think was going to be nearly as favorable to me. So I will gladly take Stephon Diggs at minus 135 at that number.
Well, and obviously Stephon Diggs has that high-end potential where he could go way over this. It just kind of depends. I think this is the tricky part of handicapping the Patriots' offense is that it can come from a multitude of ways. They have done it, it feels like, in every different direction when it comes to the run game, when it comes to, like, Kayshon Butte down the field. Stephon Diggs, we know, is a true number one receiver. And I was just looking up Stephon Diggs. I was like, all right, let's look at his game logs. But then I got sidetracked because E! News said, Stephon Diggs and Cardi B's baby is a spitting image of dad. And so I was like, oh, I gotta see this. But it's simply a picture of the baby's back with a Diggs, like, it's not a uniform. It's like a cute little hoodie that says Diggs and the number 8. I'm like, doesn't even show his face. Come on. I was ready to see a cute baby that looks like Stephon Diggs.
That's a classic bait.
Clickbait.
Yeah, clickbait headline there from E! News. How dare they?
Right. But what an interesting dynamic. Like, imagine if Stephon Diggs and Cardi B are your parents. What an interesting life this baby.
I can't imagine that. I can try my best, and I literally cannot imagine what that would be like. Yeah, it's two superstars. You know, Cardi B is a superstar. Mm. Stephon Diggs is a superstar. Just don't go on a boat with them. And I don't think they'll be taking a baby on a boat.
It's wild to think that, like, Stephon Diggs, I don't even think is the stronger personality in that relationship. Like, usually you're Stephon Diggs is the biggest character in the locker room. Not at home.
Not at home. I wonder what is going to happen when the kids become of age and they start to, you know, hear some of the things that mommy rapped about and that mommy made some music about. That's going to be an early birds and bees conversation.
Well, I think about that, like, with the Kardashians, and then I think, well, they're so rich, who cares? They will wipe their tears with dollar bills. I don't feel that bad for them. All right, that's going to do it for us here at the Daily Dip. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning. Same time, same place, 6 a.m. in the East. Bet Sweats is next on the BetMGM Network.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top-load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.